seems to be a plan for the rich man and the fascist in the name of Uncle Sam. And disrespect Columbia, making such a show of how the heroes have fallen to the point of overload.
Yeah. Okay. So talking. Check 1, 2. There, I'm talking.
Okay.
Anything right there? Okay. Perfect.
So, I think what needs to happen is before you press stream, before you press play, just make sure it's the correct thing, because I don't think you can change it after it's already streaming. Like, you'd have to press stop.
I think you nailed it right there, Meredith. And
that
for.
Makes sense.
Some reason that has never happened before.
Sure thing. No problem. So I am going to. Hi, Will. So we're going to be live now. So I'm going to. Whenever you're ready, I can switch you over.
Okay. I say we go for it. And, yeah. No better time than the present. We good? Okay, there we go. That should be good. I think we're good to go at this point. Any chance Will's there?
I am here, yeah.
Oh,
here,
there you are. Okay, I'm going to hop off now.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Gremlin's in the tech once again, but I believe Meredith has helped navigate the digital waters, and I think we have Will McCall on the line right now. Will, you absolutely can hear me. Is that really true?
I can hear you.
Will McCall, thank you so much for your presence and for your patience. This is the Monday afternoon show. Can you still hear me? Okay, so we're going to have to do this again. So we're apologies. We are definitely having technological difficulties, so I am going to get back on this. We got Will McCall on the Monday afternoon show from Cornell Cooperative Extension. Devin Connolly could not be with us, and but Will McCall is here stepping in. Will, how's it going?
It's good. How are you doing?
Oh my God. Well, I'm doing great. You know, bright and sunny day, very breezy and cold, and for some reason, all matter of technology wants to mess with me right now. So
one of those days.
Just weird stuff. It's amazing how unpredictable things can be. It's kind of like in nature and in, like, the world and in the weather and in climate, like, it's really hard to predict what's coming next.
There you go.
Well, it turns out that can be with technology as well. So anyways, folks, thanks for joining us. It is the Monday afternoon show. This is Kieran here with you, your host till 6 p.m. We have on the line Will McCall from Cornell Cooperative Extension. Devin Connolly is away. He's hopefully he's got a little vacay and relaxation going on. Will?
He is. He's in Italy.
Oh boy, poor guy. Poor Devin. I can't wait to hear all about it. So we're not quite in Italy, but you're up here in Columbia and Greene counties working with the good folks at CCE. What is going on your way? How's it going?
It's going pretty well. Yeah, so things have been busy, and we've got a lot coming in May as well. But yeah, should I just jump in with some of the listings?
Yeah, so why don't you tell us some of the things that Cornell Cooperative Extension is doing in the month of May. And as always, folks, you can go – why don't you give them the website? It's CCE
CCEColumbiaGreen.org.
There you go. Okay, I usually have it all written down. CCEColumbiaGreen.org. org, and great stuff happening as always over there. So what do you have going on in May?
So first, I want to mention we are still doing our eel program, where we are on a site on the Hanacroy Creek in the town of Coymans, just across the Greene County line in Albany County, where we're monitoring American eel populations, migrating American eel populations. And I was just in the creek earlier today. We had over 4,000 eels today. And we are looking for anyone who wants to volunteer. You can come, you can put on a pair of waders, get into the water, and help us count eels. It's a citizen science project and no experience is necessary. So, if you are interested in doing that, you could contact Lindsay Strelo Howey at las549@cornell.edu. It's a pretty fun project and a pretty fun way to, you know, learn in a very hands-on fashion.
Can I just ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
4,000 eels. Were most of them like very small, little ones, or does it range from giant, big kahuna eels to little babies? Or 4,000 eels in one day?
Yeah.
And how do you count that high? That's a lot of counting.
So they're very little. They're like in a juvenile stage called where they're mainly glass eels, where they're they look like a tiny piece of like vermicelli pasta almost. And they're completely see-through also. They're pretty incredible. And that's the overwhelming majority of them. And then we will see some that are a little bit bigger and they start to gain pigment and they're kind of like darker colored called elvers. And those are like a little bit longer. So like the glass eels are maybe, 2 inches to 3 inches long. And then the elvers are like 3 to 5 inches long or something like that. And it depends on the day and how many people we have. Sometimes we will count them by hand. And I've been there where we've counted 2,000. But then we do a weight extrapolation method where we weigh what 100 eels of the glass eels actually weighs. And then we kind of extrapolate from there to get an estimate. So that's what we did today.
Okay.
And I guess yesterday I wasn't there. We had, I think, over almost 10,000.
That's a lot of eels. My goodness. Well, again, folks, you heard it. You can volunteer, be part of the citizen science count. It's very important. It's just it collects very important data. Eels are indicative of a variety of things going on in the ecosystem there in the rivers, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, they're a very important species, and they've been like threatened for a while. Their population has been going down since the 80s, and the DEC started this project, I think about 12 years ago, monitoring the eel populations along the Hudson. And in those 12 years, we have seen an uptick in the population, not a super dramatic uptick, but we have seen a, like, encouraging increase in numbers.
Okay, cool. So what else do you have going on?
So coming up on May 3rd, we have a first aid and CPR training, which is for loggers specifically. And that's May 3rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's facilitate a logger training in the Catskill region in partnership with the Watershed Agricultural Council for professionals working towards and maintaining this certification. All classes are coordinated by CCE Columbia Green staff member Tracy Testo, and you can contact Tracy by phone at 518-622-9820 or email tet35@cornell.edu. And you should note that this class is only available to participants in the logging profession, but that's on May 3rd. On May 4th, we have Healthy Family Cooking Workshop, and it's specifically about slow cookers. So it's an opportunity for caregivers to get into the kitchen and learn how to cook alongside their children. CCE Program Director Becky Palmatier will walk families through the preparation of a healthy recipe intended for slow cookers. and she'll highlight appropriate cooking techniques for every age so the whole family can get in on the fun in the kitchen. And again, that's May 4th. It's a Saturday from 1 to 2:30 p.m. So you can contact, you can find more information on our website about that. We also have a program called Wild Edible Plants, which is going to be at our office over in Hudson. And you can explore the grounds of the Hudson Extension Education Center to learn about the value of woodlands and fields in a new way. Foraging is a great way to get to know your land as a resource for local foods. And it can be a fun family activity and comes with a greater understanding of our interactions with the natural world. So participants will learn what's available on a seasonal basis and how to collect food without disturbing or endangering a plant population. So you can check out our website for more information on that. That is, again, May 9th, a Thursday from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Now, we also have on May 14th, a program called Pollinators, Learn How to Support Them. And you can join Tim Kennelty for a talk about how we can create pollinator-safe environments in our own yard. And this is held at the Germantown Library, May 14th at 1 p.m. We also have another cooking workshop, this time focusing on gnocchi. And that's on May 15th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's an opportunity for participants to get into the kitchen and learn how to cook a new recipe. Becky Palmateer will walk participants through the preparation of gnocchi in a brown butter sage sauce, as well as a spring salad. And at the end of the program, participants will leave with a prepared meal as well as new kitchen equipment they use during the program. And again, that's May 15th, Wednesday, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And the last thing we have here on our list for May is called Library of Local Back to Nature, Make Your Own Terrariums. And that's on May 19th from 1 to 3 p.m. The Rojan Community Library, in partnership with CCE of Columbia and Greene Counties, is sponsoring a series of Back to Nature seminars conducted by Master Gardener volunteers. Terrarium is a small green space created in a transparent container consisting of various plants and other materials. And this will be a hands-on workshop led by a master gardener volunteer, Linda Levitt. And each participant will be able to make their own terrarium to take with them. And again, that is on May 19th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Rolf Janssen Community Library in Hillsdale, New York.
Love it. That's a great lineup of workshops and activities you got there, Will. It was making me a little hungry, too, hearing some of that.
I know, right? That gnocchi sounds good.
Yeah, and the wild, and we just picked a bunch of ramps. We got a couple spots out here in South Berkshire County out in the woods, and it's so great to have just wild plants. And I think people are getting more and more hip to, like, being more ethical and responsible and understanding the way to do it so that you don't clear cut and harvest out, you know, patches of things like ramps, for example. Like, really trying to approach edible plants and wilding and wildcrafting, like, in a ecologically conscious state of mind where you're not trying to extract and consume the way I think we often have in the past, socially as a civilization. But I think that's catching on now. So I'm sure that's going to be part of your program, is really how to do edible plants in a responsible way. So I urge people to get out there in the woods, but also to be very educated on how to do things properly, because there is a right way to walk in the woods and to be amongst those sacred plants, like ramps. Ramps are amazing. They're just amazing.
So such a great plant. Yeah.
You had any?
I actually foraged some this weekend.
Oh, also. Did you? Okay. Yeah. It was this weekend. Mm-hmm. We did eggs. We did egg and cheese with ramp. We did a little ramp and kale, like kind of pesto dish.
Yep.
That you can just put on anything. And it's just, it's a very, if, especially if you like the Allium family, which I do, I can never have too many onions in anything. So it's just, it's a wonderfully delicate green Allium like substance. Good for you. So you got some ramp spots too, Will?
I do. Actually, it's, I grew up near Syracuse, and it's a place near there. I was visiting family over the weekend, and we have some neighbors who have a really an amazing spot, and it's just like a this big patch of forest where it's just carpeted with ramps.
Oh, wow. So like overly overabundance. Yeah, a lot of people are advocating not to take the bulbs, not to take the roots and the bulbs, to just pick the leaves and to be very careful and methodical about it. I mean, in a place like that, it probably doesn't matter as much, but I think in a lot of our ecosystems here in like Berkshire and Columbia and areas of green, I feel like they're a little bit more endangered and delicate there. So
yeah.
Be careful, probably.
Yeah. Definitely want to be respectful of the plant too, and let it, you want to be leave it so it could be there next year too, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, this is awesome. Thanks for sitting in for Devin. It's been great chatting with you, Will.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Any parting words? Anything else? What's going on at Cornell Cooperative Extension these days?
I think that's the majority of it. I know on, let me mention this one too. I'm pulling up the website. There's a cool forest ecology walk that is technically on June 1st. But it's a forest ecology woodland walk at Frost Valley Model Forest, which is kind of like, Frost Valley is like kind of the heart of the Catskill Park more so. Shane Stevens, one of the people on our staff, is leading this forest ecology woodland walk, which there'll be more information on that on the website as well. But I'll plug that one too, because that one sounds really cool.
Sounds great, Will. Will McCall from Cornell Cooperative Extension sitting in for Devin Connolly, as he, I don't know if they have ramps in Italy, but I'm sure he's doing something cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear all about it. So thanks for sitting in and giving us all the info, Will.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kieran.
All right.
Have
you,
a good one.
You take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right.
Bye. All right, folks. That was Will McCall. We are going to get into it with some music on the Monday afternoon show. Again, my apologies for the technological glitches, and a big, big shout out and thank you to Meredith Cooey, who was on standby to help. Sometimes we Luddite radio hosts need help. And Meredith was there. We got it solved, and big things are happening here at the radio station. Wonderful things. She's helping to preside also over a giant move from the Hudson studio over to Catskill. That is a big deal. Unfortunately, I missed the moving day. I was not able to attend moving day over the weekend, so I can't wait to hear how that went. So you're listening to Community Radio. This is how we do. And I think we're going to go straight over to England via Jamaica, talking about the Eagleland beer. See if you can figure out what this song is about. Linton Kwesi Johnson kicking off the Monday afternoon show music stuff with the Eagle and the Bear. Hope you enjoy. We will be right back. Don't go away. More stuff.
The Eagle and the Bear are people living in fear of impending nuclear warfare. But as a matter of fact, believe it or not, plenty people don't care whether it's imminent or not. Oh, first one to attack or if the human race ever survive or not. For those some is aware, them life already coming like a nightmare.
And you can see it everywhere. The famine and the fear, the doubt and the drought, desperation and despair. And you can see it all around. The massacres abound, dead bodies all around. The atrocities abound, missing persons can't be found. Dictators get the throne, new clowns are quickly found. The eagle and the bear are people living in fear of impending nuclear warfare. But as a matter of fact, believe it or not, plenty people don't care whether it's imminent or not, or who first going to attack, or if the human race are going to survive or not. For those some is aware, them life already coming like a nightmare.
Queasy Johnson on the Monday afternoon show, kicking it off on this breezy, cool, bright and sunny Monday in April. It's a special time of year and unusually cool, actually. We got a full moon coming up tomorrow night. Be prepared. Tuesday night, full moon coming your way. That's the moon report. We have more moon reports coming up from a group called Global Network coming up in a bit here. Let's just have a listen. Here's from Global Network. Global Network Space for Peace. This is called Race to the Moon. Talking about some crazy stuff happening with governments racing to the moon. It's happening. All truth. Okay. All right. So Race to the Moon.
By the year 2026, just 2 years from the making of this video, at least 22 international missions are expected to touch down on the moon. Some of the countries include the US, Japan, South Korea, Russia, India, the United Arab Emirates, among others. But this time last year, NASA unveiled its four-member crew headed for the moon, Artemis II, a 10-day flight marking the agency's first manned moon voyage in over half a century. But this brings up the question, why is there so much attention being focused on the moon, considering a five-decade break from moon voyages in general? Here's a hint. Nobody has discovered any oil on the moon, and it's actually a much larger problem that's driving this new moon race.
Welcome to the Global Network. Please support us by clicking the like button and subscribing to our social media accounts.
This is the first and main reason that all countries are giving as a justification to spending billions for this new space race to the moon. There is the potential to find water on the South Pole of the moon, don't get me wrong, but discovering water on the moon is just the first smaller step to another much larger goal, militarizing space. And doing it before anyone else to gain the advantage is essentially a new level of competition from some of the richest nations on Earth. And who does this benefit mostly? The tiny section of capitalists from those countries, while the rest of the country and its people continue to struggle with access to basic necessities to life, such as healthcare. As the Global Network has made pretty clear in previous videos, the militarization of space is the dominant goal of most imperialist nations today, and it's becoming more and more of a threat to all of us. And the closest celestial body to the Earth is the moon. So it would be logical, as a military strategy, with the goal of having dominance in the skies above, to build a military outpost on the moon. This prevents unnecessary missions back to Earth to gather essential resources like water. So, while the main narrative to get to the moon so quickly may be stated as the goal to find water, the real goal is to build a military outpost on that moon and have a military advantage over others. This idea is not novel. It goes back to 1959, when the US Army completed a study for opportunities to place soldiers on the moon through what it called Project Horizon. This study proposed deploying soldiers to the moon by 1966. They designed blueprints of the entire outpost, including a detailed area of the living quarters. In early 2022, the US Air Force Research Lab made a pretty significant announcement, one which barely got any attention. They announced that the Pentagon will be extending its operations from 22,000 miles above Earth to 10 times that distance. And you'll never guess what it's called. The California Highway Patrol System. The Cislunar Highway Patrol System, or CHIPS for short. I kid you not.
Until now, the United States space mission extended 22,000 miles above Earth. That was then. This is now. The Air Force Research Laboratory is extending that range by 10 times, and the operations area of the United States by 1,000 times, taking our reach to the far side of the moon, into cislunar space, far beyond the crowd. The Cislunar Highway Patrol System, or CHIPS, will bypass thousands of government and commercial satellites as it makes its way to a rarely before visited domain, 272,000 miles from Earth. As NASA and numerous commercial companies look to extend our presence beyond the International Space Station to the lunar surface and interplanetary destinations, increasing space traffic to the moon many times over the coming decades, the U.S. Space Force will ensure the peaceful development of space
keeping our missions safe and secure in these distant frontiers. The responsible use of space and unfettered access to space domain awareness ensures collision avoidance, on-orbit logistics, communication, navigation, and maneuver, all critical to the United States and allied space commerce, science, and exploration. AFRL, on Earth or hundreds of thousands of miles away, providing the technology to ensure safe space exploration, keeping an eye on adversaries, and providing critical national defense capabilities to the moon and beyond.
The research center from the Pentagon is looking at the space between Earth and the moon as the next Interstate 405, or should I say, the first intercelestial body state. They see the space traffic from Earth to Moon increasing so much that it will be required to patrol those highways or spaceways. Essentially, this is that same idea behind protecting free trade, just like how the US military patrols the entire world with nuclear-powered and nuclear-armed submarines and warships in order to protect so-called free trade. While this is true to some degree, it really just gives the US and its trading partners who capitulate to US policies an advantage over other nations and producers. Now, they are taking this idea towards space. We weren't lying when we said that the US wanted to take capitalism to outer space 2 years ago. The US-based think tank CSIS published a report in early 2022 titled Fly Me to the Moon, saying that 106 cislunar and lunar activities are planned in the next decade, coming from 19 nations. That is a lot of activity around the moon. Besides, the typical larger-based economy nations like the US, China, and Russia, who we should all know are going to do these space activities, one of the most ambitious plans actually comes from the United Arab Emirates, who plans on sending over 1,000 people to the moon by 2045. In a world where the US already spends the most on its military budget and has the most powerful military in the world, we can see why the Pentagon wants to extend its arms into the cislunar arena, and specifically to the moon. And this idea of creating a highway patrol is just an extension of what the US is already doing on Earth. So, as we hear more and more from mainstream media outlets in the coming years about the so-called scientific exploration of the moon and its cislunar space around it, hearing that the goal is to find water, you'll notice that what is left out of the news stories is the real intention of all these cislunar missions, to have a military advantage over space activities, with the goal of completely dominating space. And the U.S. has stated this, as Trump said years ago.
We must have American dominance in space. So important.
This goal might become a reality, but the question is, at what cost?
Called Whitey on the Moon. It was inspired by some Whiteys on the Moon. So I want to give credit where credit is due. All right. That's it.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the Moon. Her face and arms began to swell and Whitey's on the Moon. I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the Moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the Moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night because Whitey's on the Moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the Moon. I wonder why he's upping me, because Whitey's on the Moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills, air mail special. To Whitey on the moon.
Okay, that was Gil Scott-Heron with Whitey's on the Moon. I think we can play this one. Okay, so that is Objects on the Monday Afternoon Show. We're coming up to the 5 o'clock hour. Just wanted to share with you that little bit about the moon. And, yeah, just thinking about greater things than just our planet moving out into the cosmos. Food for thought on the Monday Afternoon Show. Thanks for joining us. We have news in just a couple minutes. And we will be back for another hour of some shenanigans, some music, some audio. Big shout out to my mom listening, who sent me some audio from Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela gave a speech about why I am prepared to die. And this was from his trial on sabotage, his trial by the apartheid South African government. And Nelson Mandela speaking up in that speech. So we're going to have some of that coming up on the 5 o'clock hour. I want to thank everyone for listening and for bearing with on the technological glitches. It just happens. So, happy birthday, Niccolò Sacco, born in 1893, Italian anarchist, American anarchist, Italian American, sentenced to death with Vanzetti. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. And we are back on the Monday Afternoon Show for another hour. Thanks for joining on this beautiful April day. I believe it is Earth Day officially today. Is it the Monday today? Got a message again from Mom. Thanks, Mom. It is Earth Day. I got to get out on the weekend, Saturday morning. First thing, go down to my local highway, Route 41. It's not really a highway, but it's a road that has lots of trash. And I haven't really done this too many times in the past because I do my part in different ways. But this was a great experience to go out with the old yellow bag and the green bag for recycling with tons of other people first thing on a Saturday morning in our community. Big shout out to Eric Gabriel, our local selectman who helped organize this Earth Day trash cleanup get together for Housatonic, Massachusetts. And we got to pick up trash along the road. And it felt really good to spend some time in a particular area where somebody had just let loose with the absolute atrocities of our modern trash shenanigans, paint cans, printers, little kiddie pool, and the amount of nips. Oh my God, don't get me started on nips. These tiny little plastic bottles of alcohol, little shots of vodka. I don't understand the nip phenomenon. I mean, I understand part of it. It's easy to regulate. It's easy to hide them. It's easy to whatever. It's easy to throw them out the window on the side of the road. But I think they need to start charging 5 cent deposit for every nip. Because after you buy like 24 of them and do shots in one area, like at what point does it make sense to just buy a pint, buy a bottle? What's with the nips, people? This is a modern phenomenon I do not know much about. Anyway, so why don't we kick off the second hour here with The Clash. This song rung somehow important to me in recent times. People defending their urban ghetto communities. Yes, I'll say no more. Here's The Clash with Ghetto Defendant. Why don't we try that again? Here's The Clash with Ghetto Defendant.
Starved in Metropolis. Hooked on Necropolis. Addict of Metropolis. Do the worm on Acropolis. Slam dance Cosmopolis. Enlighten the populace.
Stop.
strung out committee.
Rolled out of the city, cloud down from uptown. Spray pest from the nest, run out to party your town.
The gods are itchy.
Forced to watch out the thieves, then sweep up the night. Flipped pieces of coin,
broken bottles,
exchange for birthright,
wrapped it in a jiffy.
Ghetto defender, it is heroin pity.
Strung out committee.
Not to gas the button, Joe, we'll stop you thinking in the city.
Not sitting pretty.
Prince of Ghana poets was bounced out of the room.
Not to ramble.
By the bodyguards of greed for disturbing the tomb.
1873.
His words like flamethrowers.
Paris Commune.
Burnt the ghettos in their chests. His face painted whiter than he was laid to rest.
Died in Marseille.
Ghetto defender.
Buried in Charlie.
It is heroin pity. Not to gas no baton toes. Stop you taking the city.
Shut up. Invasion, Death Squad, Salvador, Afghanistan, meditation, old Chinese flu, kick junk, what else can a poor worker do?
That's The Clash, Ghetto Defendant. We're going to go on to Iran now. Some music in Farsi. Sara Naini with Biman Nigah Kon.
درون کوله بارتم یه میشه یک حراس خوب برای ذکر نام بر
like a glue. It's true. up. All this violence, lock it up. The rest of us have had enough. Hey, kid, lock it up. Populism, lock it up. Fucker, lock it up. Enough.
Oopsies, don't eat those bad apples. That was Pussy Riot and Dave Sitek with Bad Apples. Sounds coming out of Russia right there. Great band. Definitely been speaking truth to power for a while right there. It's the birthday of Jack Nicholson, born in 1937. The crazy, amazing American actor, Jack Nicholson. Happy birthday. He was in The Shining, Witches of Eastwick, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Chinatown, so many movies. And this one, A Few Good Men, with Tom Cruise. The good old Tom Cruise right there. He plays Colonel Jessup. And this is on Code Red. Jack Nicholson, did you order the Code Red? Well, Tom Cruise is going to find out. This is military speak through Jack. Good old Uncle Jack at its best.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the Code Red?
I did the job.
Did you order the Code Red?
You're goddamn right I did!
So he ordered the Code Red. Happy birthday, Uncle Jack. Oh, and happy birthday, Tom Newman. Turned 80. Got to party with that man over the weekend. Happy birthday,
it's
Tom
Newman.
It's all
gone plastic now. Tell you how. Got a motor cash count bigger than before. Got war will rule the world. Someone's on the TV. Tell me something I believe. Someone sing a ding dong. What a way to get along. Cuckoo raised a bull, but she did it all wrong. I keep tossing, losing sleep at night. Stick it in my head. I've been nowhere quite as strange as this before. Saw it come between me, brand new reality. Kissy, kissy, money, vanity, and fame. How to keep your partner sex to please. Say it like it ought to be. Someone shouted out at me. Something keeps a knocking, keeps a knocking on my door. It's been saying, oh no, can't watch this anymore. Watch saying so and so and this and that and such and such a single point of view. Nowhere near the mark, it's hard to speak. Heard on the radio someone saying so and so and this and such a single point of view. Nowhere near the mark, it's hard to speak. Saying so and so and this and that and such 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 and such.
Should I have done something different? Okay.
Chris Newman with Something I Believe right there. We're going to go to Nelson Mandela. This was a recording from his sentencing when he was sentenced to life in prison under the apartheid South African government.
Africans want to be paid a living wage. Africans want to perform work which they are capable of doing and not work which the government declares them to be capable of. We want to be allowed to live where we obtain work and not be endorsed out of an area because we were not born there. We want to be allowed and not to be obliged to live in rented houses which we can never call our own. We want to be part of the general population and not confined to living in our ghettos. African men want to have their wives and children to live with them where they work and not to be forced into an unnatural existence in men's hostels. Our women want to be with their men folk and not to be left permanently widowed in the reserve. We want to be allowed out after 11 o'clock at night and not to be confined to our rooms like little children. We want to be allowed to travel in our own country and to seek work where we want to, where we want to, and not where the Labour Bureau tells us to. We want a just share in the whole of South Africa. We want security and a stake in society. Above all, my lord, we want equal political rights because without them, our disabilities will be permanent. I know this sounds revolutionary to the whites in this country because the majority of voters will be Africans. This makes the white man fear democracy. But this fear cannot be allowed to stand in the way of the only solution which will guarantee racial harmony and freedom for all. It is not true that the enfranchisement of all will result in racial domination.
Peacock is the exclusive streaming
based on color is entirely artificial. And when it disappears, so will the domination of one color group by another. The ANC has spent half a century fighting against racism. When it triumphs, as it certainly must, it will not change that policy.
That was none other than Nelson Mandela. Thanks, Mom, for sending me that. So appropriate today. It's also the birthday of Niccolò Sacco, born in 1893, the Italian-American anarchist sentenced to death to capital punishment with Vanzetti. Italian-American anarchist scapegoated during a witch hunt that is part of this American history of going after radicals to scapegoat and to kill people, to show people that killing people is wrong. Which coincidentally is also another anniversary on this day in history in 1987. We're talking the 80s. We're talking Reagan and Bush, ex-CIA director Bush Sr., HW, and ex-movie actor Ronnie Reagan. In 1987, during their reign of terror, the United States Supreme Court upholds the death penalty in the United States despite proof, irrefutable proof, that the death penalty is racially biased. And the reasoning as part of the U.S. Supreme Court in their judicial discretion, because they're so awesome, well, that racism in the criminal justice system is inevitable. So why wouldn't we just make the death penalty good anyway, because it's inevitable. We're going to kill more black people than white people because of racism. Yeah. So on that day in history, segueing into it, we should play this speech by John Mersheimer. I want to thank Wayne Coe for sending this audio to me. I tried to play it a couple weeks ago, but ran out of time. But this is about apartheid. And this is Apartheid in Israel by John Mersheimer, talking about the system in Israel and how, you know, it's like apartheid in the 80s, death penalty in the 80s, Sacco and Vanzetti. It's all kind of connected if you think about it, but don't want you to have to think too much on this Monday afternoon. Have a listen to John Mersheimer.
Important to understand that what's going on here is that Israel, as a result of the 1967 war, has effectively created a Greater Israel. And Greater Israel includes the borders of Israel in 1967, plus East Jerusalem, plus the West Bank, plus Gaza. That's Greater Israel. And inside of Greater Israel, you have roughly 7.3 million Palestinians and roughly 7.3 million Israeli Jews. Okay? So just think about what's going on here. You have this big piece of territory, Greater Israel, that has roughly an equal number of Palestinians and Jews. And moving forward, it looks like the number of Palestinians will be greater than the number of Jews. That means that you cannot have a democratic Greater Israel where you have one person, one vote, because it will no longer be a Jewish state. It will end up being a Palestinian state. So democracy is off the table. With regard to a two-state solution where the Israeli Jews get pre-1967 Israel and the Palestinians get East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza, the Israelis are unwilling to accept that. Period. End of story. They are unwilling to accept that. And given the power of the lobby, the United States is not going to force them to accept that. And certainly no other country is. Right. So the two-state solution is off the table. A one-state solution where you have a democracy is off the table. That leaves two other options. One is an apartheid state, which is where the Israeli Jews treat the Palestinians as second, if not third class citizens. And this is what you have now. Israel is an apartheid state. Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and B'Tselem, which is the largest human rights group inside of Israel, have all written lengthy reports that make the case, persuasively, I would argue, that Israel is an apartheid state. And in fact, there are Israeli leaders who use exactly that rhetoric. Many Israelis understand that Israel has become an apartheid state. It's hard to avoid that when you have 7.3 million Palestinians and 7.3 million Israeli Jews. So you have an apartheid state. The final option is ethnic cleansing. And you solve the apartheid state problem by cleansing Gaza and cleansing the West Bank. And then you have a Greater Israel that is filled with Israeli Jews and where there are 20% or less Palestinians.
Is this what Zionism was supposed to be like? Or you think the Zionist ideology has evolved over the last few decades?
Zionism from the get-go was all about creating a Jewish state.
But not to the extent of being genocidal or cleansing.
The Zionist understood from the very beginning that you had to cleanse. There's no way Jews or Zionists moving out of Europe can come into an area that's filled with Palestinians and create a Jewish state without cleansing the area. They understood that from the beginning. This is very clear from the historical record. The Zionists who came out of Europe and, you know, laid the foundation for what is Israel today were very smart people. I mean, they were very smart, very clever. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they understood that they would have to do horrible things to the Palestinians in order to create a Jewish state. It was just inevitable. There's no way you could create a Jewish state otherwise.
I want to switch to China.
Try to run for all the bad for this. Tú nos dices que debemos sentarnos, pero las ideas solo pueden levantarnos, caminar, correr, no rendirse ni retroceder, ver, aprender como esponja absorbe. Nadie sobre todos, faltan todos, suman todos para todos, todo para nosotros. Soñamos en grande que se caiga el imperio, lo gritamos alto, no queda más remedio. Esto no es utopía, es alegre rebeldía del baile de los que sobran de la danza de mi mía. Levantarnos para desvillar. Ni América Latina se suba. Un barro con casco, con lápiz, a patear el fiasco. Provocar un social terremoto en este charco. Al suelo y del suelo al cielo vamos. Canto blanco, vuelve pa' tu pueblo. No te tenemos miedo, tenemos vida y fuego. Fuego en nuestras manos, fuego en nuestros ojos. Tenemos tanta vida y esta fuerza color rojo. La niña María no quiere tu castigo. Se va a liberar con el suelo palestino. Somos africanos, latinoamericanos. Somos este sur y juntamos nuestras manos. Todos los callados.
Chile, that's Ana Tiju with Somos Sur featuring Shadia Mansour from Palestine. Palestine meets Chile on the Monday afternoon show. Thanks for listening so much. Big shout out to Abby and her friend listening. I think they're up in Chatham Way, up in northern Columbia County. Praying for peace, hoping for peace, cooking for peace, and just everybody to chill out and just get along. I think people are on that vibe. And why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to just chill out and get along? So we're coming up on the 6 o'clock hour. This is the Monday afternoon show. Thanks again for listening. A couple more announcements here, and then we'll let you go. Vladimir Lenin, born in 1870, as Walter says in The Big Lebowski, it's not John Lennon, it's Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, born in 1870. Happy birthday, Vlad. Robert Oppenheimer. Maybe some of you saw the movie Oppenheimer. I did not. Born on this day in 1904, the atomic physicist, played by a great Irish actor, Cillian Murphy. Really great actor. Some interesting parts of the movie that I read about for an entire epic, blown-up movie about this guy who created the atomic bomb. There was not one reference, not one image, not one mention of the devastation and the extent of carnage and Holocaust, nuclear Holocaust, that it perpetrated on the Japanese people. That was left out somehow. The devastation upon a civilian population, left out of an entire movie about the atomic bomb. So the crime is not necessarily in the statement or what is shown. The crime is in what is omitted and what is not shown, it seems like to me. That's my personal opinion. Charlie Mingus, born in 1922, bassist, composer, band leader. Happy birthday, Charlie Mingus. Jazz music. John Waters, the filmmaker, born on this day in 1946. I remember coming out of college and some weird, fun, friendly couple invited us over and we watched Pink Flamingos. I think that was a John Waters film. And we're like, what is going on, buddy? Good times back in the 90s. Jack Nicholson, as we heard, born on this day in 1937. Heard that clip from A Few Good Men. And Niccolo Sacco, born in 1893, Italian-American anarchist, framed with Vanzetti by the capitalist judicial system, which is not just racist against black people, but also back then, especially against Italians, Irish, against anyone foreign, especially the anarchist types. It's Earth Day, first observed on this day in 1970. Happy Earth Day, April 22nd. It is official. Thanks, Mom, for reminding me that. Actually, it was today. It wasn't over the weekend, even though that's when we picked up trash. In Iceland, it's known as the first day of summer, which is two seasons, and it's a national holiday. So happy national holiday in Iceland. In the United States, it's also Secretary Day. Happy Secretary Day. On this day in history, let's have a little quick gander at what happened in 1526, way back when the first American slave revolt took place in South Carolina. In 1996, nonviolent activists sabotage U.S. nuclear submarine radio triggers in Wisconsin. And that was before the Patriot Act, so maybe those nonviolent activists were not sentenced to, not death, even though the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld that, but maybe life in prison under the Patriot Act. But in 96, I'd like to know, maybe, hopefully those folks are doing okay. Sabotaging United States nuclear submarine radio triggers in Wisconsin. In 1944, a sit-in by African Americans forces desegregation of restaurants in Washington, D.C. And in 1955, on this day, the U.S. Congress orders all coins to say, "In God we trust," because we believe so strongly in the separation of church and state. In God we trust. Because we can't trust wheat anymore. We can't trust gold standard anymore. can't really trust the government anymore. So just trust God and the government will handle the rest. In 1987, the United States Supreme Court upholds the death penalty despite proof that it is racially biased, reasoning that racism in the criminal justice system is inevitable. We're signing off now. Thanks for joining. We'll catch you next week on the Monday Afternoon Show. Everyone, take care. Kieran here, signing off.
To me, you're tired and you're poor. Your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. Tears away the roots and says goodbye to friends and family. The fathers and the mothers weep, the children cannot comprehend. But when there is a promised land, the brave will go and others follow. The beauty of the human spirit is the will to find our dreams. And so the masses teemed across the ocean to a land of peace and hope. But will they hear a voice or see a light when they are tumbled on the shore? And will they hear the echo of the phrase, I lift my lamp beside the golden door? Blessed are persecuted, and blessed are the pure in the heart. Blessed are the merciful, and blessed are the ones who
multicultural band performing celestially conscious original. music. I am Ngonda, which means the moon in the Bantu Congo cosmology. The rest of the band serve as the sun that bestow light upon me. The audience embody the earth, and together at each performance, the sun, moon, and earth are in alignment. We are experiencing an eclipse as a community. As the founder, lead singer, and songwriter, creative director, designer, and seamstress, I put a lot of time and intention into the unique experience that the audience can connect to. I'm offering an oral, musical, and visual experience that I believe is necessary in this world to preserve the live music integrity while uplifting and inspiring people to believe in themselves. I am giving my heart and soul into a mission of healing and discovering thyself through music, community, and positive message. If we can believe in ourselves, we can make a greater difference in our lives and in the world.
This MIJ Strat might be the best deal on the internet. For decades, Fender reissue guitars made
This next song is called Travel the World.